From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 221, recorded live Thursday, July 9th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode of Hansel Minutia, Scott talks with Dan Fernandez.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And this week, it's Hansel Minutia. It's a totally random show. And instead of Richard Campbell today, we've got Dan Fernandez, who is dying of either the common cold or the common flu. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing good, thanks to modern medicine and DayQuil, which I have clearly overdosed. So I will be just smiling and laughing today.
And by DayQuil, you mean like a fifth of vodka, or is it actual DayQuil?
I mean actual DayQuil. I gotta say, DayQuil is one of those things that just works on my body. So I feel wonderful. I look in a mirror and I look more attractive. I just love it.
You're already freakishly tall, so you couldn't be any taller.
I it seems like I've been going to the gym. You know, the whole works, man. There's something about DayQuil, and don't get me started on NyQuil. You know, if we ever need to hibernate as a species, all we need is a NyQuil drip,
and NyQuil is what they use when you're doing long time sleep. You know, if you're going between star systems.
I think it was actually featured in Aliens, or they should have had some nice product placement if they had thought about it.
Absolutely. All right. So just because we're both Microsoft employees and we're going to talk about random stuff, remember that this show is not Microsoft show, and all this is our opinions. And if you want anyone fired, get Dan fired. But this is not Microsoft talking. This is a DayQuil-inspired Dan, and I'm hopped up on about 3 Diet Cokes, and it's not yet 9. So certainly, disclaimer, blah, blah, blah. So did you stand in line for an iPhone 4, Dan?
You know, I didn't. I have to say, and maybe it's just because I've been playing with Windows Phone, but I'm actually really excited about Windows Phone 7.
Not are you serious? I mean, you is it, we're only 3 minutes into the thing, and the fanboyism and the Microsoft and whatnot has already started up.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I have to say, Clint and I are lucky in that we're probably one of the only people that have gotten to use Windows Phone, and you know we go and they flash the phone with new OSs, and obviously I can't say some of the stuff on there, but it's just coming along really well. And I think the big thing is just how nice it is to program, like being able to program Silverlight is really nice. The one web app we're looking at doing, or I'm looking at doing for Coding for Fun, is the How to Get Out of a Bad Date. It's basically you set up the phone and it'll fake a ring and it'll fake the caller ID message. So, you know, you can say like Bill Gates is calling and, you know, have some phone number or whatever. And it basically looks exactly like the phone. So, you know, based on some timer, say, you know, within 3 minutes, I want you to start ringing or vibrating or whatever your phone happens to use. And that way you can say, like, oh, geez, I got to get out of this meeting, or, oh, I got to get out of this bad date. You know, Bill Gates is calling. But again, I think it's just because I'm a dev nerd, and Silverlight is really cool. So, but that's why I don't have an iPhone 4.
So you actually have, like, a Windows phone, or you're borrowing one, or you have borrowed one?
No, we have one from the Windows Phone team. So it's kind of shared between Clint and I. So we don't we only put in our SIM like for demos and stuff. So my day to day phone is an old school Windows, when it was Windows Mobile phone. But we get to play with the Windows phone quite a bit.
Can you make a call? Does that actually work? I've never seen one actually dial.
Yeah. I mean the whole work. You put in your SIM. Trying to make sure what other stuff there's stuff I can't say.
Oh, okay.
Basically, well, but yeah, the whole thing works.
You know, there's an interesting article on MSDN. I will put this in the show notes by a guy named Jim Gallison. And he did this yesterday, and it's called A Tale of Four Frameworks. And he basically sits down and writes the same trivial but interesting Polygon application in four frameworks. He does it in COM and C++ ATL. He then does it on Android with the Android emulator and Java. Then he does it on Windows Phone. And then he does it as an ActiveX control. And it's really interesting. And he's got the code for each of them. Like how to write an ActiveX control and what's good and what's bad and all the ActiveX crap. And he basically kind of walks through the whole thing. Does it in Android and does it in Java. And then walks through doing it in XAML and how, you know, he looks at the emulators and he looks at the, what the experience is like, looks at the code, and then he shows you all four of these applications all living next to each other and basically has like a chart talking about like, well, how much code is there and, how complicated is the IDE and what's the graphics and what are the abstractions and, you know, low level for COM and mid level for Android and high level for Silverlight. It's pretty interesting. All the code is available.
So is it pretty clear from that article, like, hey, wow, this is the easiest one, or you know, he did
well,
it in 10
see,
lines of code
yeah.
with this one, or...
It's tough, because he, what his application does is it draws a polygon and then puts a circle around it. So some languages are better for that. Like, that's one line in Silverlight.
Right.
But that's not fair, right? It's only one line. In Java, it's like a couple of lines. In ATL, it's five lines. Now, of course, it's five lines to do the polygon, not the 40 different files and bitmaps and resources and IDL files and all the other crap. But I don't think that it's a fair comparison, although it does give you an idea of what starting out a project would be. The real question would be like, you know, write a Tetris game and then go all out on all four of them. But I thought that was a kind of an interesting thing. The real question will be, people will start using Windows Phone if they can make money on Windows Phone, right? I mean, ultimately, that's how it comes down to. Like, if you look at the TIOBE stuff mm-hmm. that came out last week, Objective-C, TIOBE is a language ranking system, and they show you, like, whether a language is going up or going down in popularity. And Objective-C is like way, way up. And Objective-C is hard and not fun. But, you know, it can be hard and not fun. I'll write it in assembler if it can make me money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you can make money and it's easy to write.
I think probably one of the challenges that Windows Phone will have is the developer story will be awesome. The real question is whether we can convince consumers to buy the phone, because that's what developers want. As a target to buy your application. So if you can convince those consumers to buy the phone, then you have a target market.
Yeah. You know, there's an article in a magazine called The Globe and Mail. I think it's an English thing. And they're listing out dead technology companies. And the guy starts out in this article saying that Microsoft can now be added to the list of defunct companies like abandoned railway lines. He says that the $200 billion U.S. company is finished.
Is there sarcasm or why?
No, he's totally serious. He says it's like working for a large bureaucracy and no one wants to work there. It's pretty sad. I was like, really? That sucks. You read a lot of this stuff. I don't know. The thing is, there's like day. I mean, as a Microsoft employee, and again, I'll be here almost 3 years in October. It's cool because you work here and you're happy when we do something cool like Natal, which is now called Kinect, the cool thing for the Xbox. It lets you, you know, our Xbox motion controller. But then we do stuff like we start the kin and then we kill the kin a day later, and it's just like, oh man. We're such a big company. You're really excited one day and you're really sad the next day.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those weird things where you kind of do the roller coaster on the company. It really depends. I'd probably say outside the biggest complaints on Microsoft and mm-hmm. a lot of these stories are not so much on our enterprise stuff, but really on our consumer angle, right? So obviously, on the Windows Mobile front, we have a lot to catch up on. You know, you mentioned the kin. You look at people as they try and compare some of the stuff that we're doing for browsers where they feel like, hey, you know, IE9 has a lot of catch-up work to do. But then you look at the other side, which is more like our enterprise business, and that enterprise business is booming. I mean, you look at SQL Server in terms of either sales or units, you know, it's awesome. SharePoint is our fastest billion-dollar business ever. Our dev tool business is always great. Windows 7, fastest licensing, fastest version of Windows that's ever sold ever. So more licenses sold than any other version of Windows.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad, and it just seems kind of more the doom and gloom on some of the consumer stuff, because that's really what people end up seeing.
Yeah. People always accuse us also of making a new wheel. I found this article called 8 Reasons for Reinventing the Wheel. So that was pretty cool, because we're always like, oh, you should stop reinventing the wheel. Engineers are always reinventing the wheel. But here are 8 actual reasons that it's appropriate for Microsoft or someone else to make the wheel. Like, I am a wheel engineer. my wheel is better than your wheel. Right? This is also closely related to the programming virtues of laziness, impatience, and hubris. These are the 3 programmer virtues. Have you heard about these?
Well, I do know the laziness, and I don't... Say them again and give the overview.
Laziness, this is the energy expenditure, right? The first great virtue of a programmer. And then impatience. This is makes you write programs that do stuff because, you know, the computer is wrong. Therefore, I'm impatient. I will write it myself. And then hubris, which is excessive pride. This is the thing that makes you write and maintain programs that other people would never write because you think you can do it better.
Yeah, my version's always going to be better.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also boredom is another good reason to invent a new wheel. We should send this to some of the bosses. Did you see the new YouTube lean back stuff?
No, it's the YouTube lean back stuff.
So you know about like 10-foot, they call it a 10-foot interface? This is when you want to like watch TV on your computer, like Windows Media Center. This is when you lean back and just let the videos play.
Yeah.
So if you go to youtube.com/leanback, it's an all new interface that is effectively like YouTube TV. It just plays YouTube videos from your preferences and things that you might like.
Mm.
Uses the arrow keys on the keyboard, and you just have to lean back.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's new. It's interesting. So I've tried plugging in my my laptop with HDMI,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of like letting it watch. And you know, it's as horrible as you think it would be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because it's just totally random. Like, first it brought up that very nice lady who sang with Michael Jackson at his memorial, and she did like a thing of We Are the World, and that was nice, right? And then it was the next thing was the end credit themes to the TV show Chuck. So I'm like, okay. So I was all like, oh, wow, this is amazing. It's Judith Hill singing We Are the World. That was really so special. Thank you, YouTube. And then boom, next video. The end credit themes of Chuck.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, unfortunately, some of these things, and I'll use TiVo as the other example,
mm-hmm.
especially if it's using your preferences and based on what you vote, it will unfortunately show you just how boring a person you actually are by algorithms, because what that's doing is probably looking at your ratings, looking at your favorites, people also liked. And TiVo used to do this where people would get upset where, you know, they'd rate some shows and then all of a sudden their TiVo would record suggested videos that were, you know, terrible. It's like, no, I don't like watching chick flicks. Why are you telling me this? Just because I like Tech Guy for the regular guy.
Yep. That's exactly what happens. My TiVo still thinks I'm gay 3 years later from watching some stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just, you know, it's like bad TiVo, bad TiVo.
Yeah, exactly. But it's unfortunately, when we see ourselves reflected by technology, by an algorithm, it is a horrible image to see.
Yeah, I don't know why this shoe channel keeps coming up. Some kind of somehow it thinks that that's appropriate. I don't know why. Yeah, it's a problem. But youtube.com/leanback.
You know, one of the exciting things that I have to say is, and I think it's going to happen really soon, that's going to change everything, is everything really being online. So if you saw the announcement, Hulu Plus is having their you know, prime time shows, NBC, ABC, Fox, and I believe CBS too, is going to be available as a subscription for $9.95 a month. You can watch, you know, instant shows. You don't have to wait.
Dude, I have
everything's
this.
Available in their archive, and they're going to have like connections for Xbox and a number of other things.
Yeah, I have this. A buddy of mine who works at Hulu hooked me up.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, I have this. I'm not kidding.
Tell me about this, because so here's the thing: if you have this and say Netflix, why at that point you don't really need, say, Comcast cable.
Hi, this is Scott. I just want to remind you guys that there's no show without a sponsor. Somebody's got to pay for all this bandwidth, and the more popular the show becomes, the more important it is that we thank our sponsors, folks like Telerik. Now, I want to let you guys know that Telerik has got a pretty cool deal going between June 1st, 2010 and August 31st, 2010. Any interested listener, just send an email to podcast@Telerik, TELERIK.com. Mention Hansel Minutes, and they will reply, and they'll give you a special $50 off coupon code. So just remember, podcast@Telerik.com. Mention Hansel Minutes, $50 off. This goes until August 31st, 2010. And big thanks again for the folks at Telerik for believing in our show and for continuing to help pay for our expenses. Well, so here's the thing, right? So I have this, and it lets you watch. So there's Hulu, which is, we know what Hulu is, and Hulu lets you watch like the last couple of episodes of a show. So if I want to watch, like, one of the shows I'm watching now is called Modern Family. If I want to watch Modern Family, Hulu will show me the last 5 episodes for free. I don't need to pay anyone to see the last 5 episodes. If I want the entire season, I pay $10 to Hulu Plus. Now, here's the part that's cool. It's not $10 for the entire season of that one show. It's $10 for the entire season of their entire library of shows. So it's like the entire season of, you know, like all 5 seasons of Lost or, you know, whatever. And there's like dozens and dozens and dozens of shows, including shows you've forgotten, you know, shows that were canceled. You want to watch like all 12 million seasons of Arrested Development or whatever. It's available. And you can watch it on your phone, on your PlayStation. They say it'll be on Xbox next year, yada, yada, yada. All right?
Except, so the question, it is a purchase by show, not a subscription model?
No. It's a lease. It's kind of like Zune. I can watch all 7, I don't know how many episodes, all 7 seasons of Lost anytime I want, as long as I pay them $10 a month. I can't download it.
So right, almost, right. Okay, I guess that's what I meant. It's more like Netflix subscription model. It's all you can eat so long as you pay the monthly bill.
Right, exactly. Like the person that I always compare it to Brad Wilson. You know Brad Wilson on the ASP.NET team. Whenever I go over to his house, he has this amazing DVD collection, and he has ripped everything. He loves to buy TV shows. He rips everything onto a giant super multi-terabyte server and then runs it all through Apple TV. So if you want to watch, he showed me he has every single episode of The West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's done the work, though. I mean, he ripped it. He organized the titles. He made the album art. You know, it's exquisite, but it represents a lot of effort. But I can do that just by paying someone else $10 to do it, and then I can stream it whenever. So, like, to your point, the work has been done. I don't have to worry about backing it up. I don't have to think about the psychic weight associated with those files living on a hard drive somewhere and worrying about if they're backed up and maintained and not corrupted and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
this is cool. I didn't know you had Hulu Plus. Would you recommend it? Would you say like, yes, this is a thing to do? Because the way I look at it is, as a Netflix subscriber, I have a Roku and I absolutely love it. In fact, you know, it's funny you mentioned Arrested Development. I was just watching season 3 of Arrested Development the other day on my TV and absolutely loved it. And I'm just wondering why I would need a cable or a dish subscription if Hulu Plus is good enough.
So the reason is that, in my opinion, is that there's some show you can't get. And the thing is that I am having trouble because I can't get Dexter, which is on Showtime, and I can't get what's the other show on True Blood on HBO. So those two shows I can't get. I have to wait until later when they come out on DVD, which is torturous, clearly. So if I torrent them, I don't know about people who are listening, but if I or some theoretical Hanselman out there were to torrent something like this. Of course, I would never advocate doing something like that.
I love the theoretical Hanselman.
We're talking about a theoretical Hanselman. If some theoretical Hanselman were to do that and then were to theoretically get a cease and desist order from his ISP and was told, this is something that you need to stop doing or we will shut you down. You know, I don't know how people successfully torrent anything anymore. ISPs don't like that. And they always get takedown orders from the content owner, right? So if you decide to go and watch an HBO show, they will find you. I mean, aren't they in the middle of suing all those people on who took the Hurt Locker?
No, I didn't know that.
You know about that? The Hurt Locker movie. The directors and the people who own the Hurt Locker have decided to basically not sue the ISP, not sue, you know, the hosters, but they're suing the actual 500,000 people who downloaded the movie itself.
Wow.
So seriously, I mean, the thing is, I think you and I are getting to is that if it's $1 or $10 or whatever for an entire season or many, many seasons of something, just pay the money. It's 99 cents.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is if you could get, say, Dexter and True Blood as another option, let's say it was just $20 to have available online anytime and through your TV at any time, I guarantee you'd pay it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, we technically are paying it through Comcast. I think the area that gets me really excited is being able to watch anytime, anywhere, any device. Yeah. Like, I could imagine the Hulu Plus, back to the mobile scenario, the Hulu Plus, where I can pull up, say, Modern Family and watch an episode, you know, while I'm, you know, commuting on a plane or something else. Assuming that plane has an internet connection.
Speaking of, here's the other thing. It's in the cloud, and that's wonderful, and that's magical, except no one ever considers bandwidth, right? It's just not reasonable to watch an hour-long TV show over 3G. Hulu Plus is enabled over 3G, except AT&T has capped the bandwidth now to 2 gigs, and then you have to start paying after that. So the idea that I could be like hanging out at the local Starbucks, maybe I could do that. I could use their Wi-Fi. But if I'm out and about, I can't really do that. In my experience traveling all over the world, bandwidth is a huge problem. So I'm not sure what magical world that they imply that we're going to be living in, that I'm going to have awesome bandwidth at every hotel.
Yeah, I'd say outside of U.S. and Western Europe, you're absolutely right. I remember in being in Cairo having to go to the computer room because there were no internet connections in the room.
Exactly. Sitting in the business center. And then when you can't watch any of these shows because they're shut down. People who are listening from the U.S. are like, Hulu, what the heck is that? We don't have DVRs. It seems perfect. They always have some random guy in a nice suit on a subway looking at his iPad. And I mean, I can't even get a text message out on the subway. There's just no way.
Very true. Very true.
If they could let me pre-download it ahead of time, maybe, but still.
Well, I think in that case, like a lot of times on the iPad, just to be fair, is that they've downloaded the video.
Assuming that they have, but features like Hulu Plus don't let you do that.
Yeah. If you could find some way to basically make a secure download, that would be another area that would be great, where you could just basically take your videos with you. Back to some developer stuff. One of the examples that I had done before was downloading YouTube videos just so I could take them with me. Like, hey, wow, this is, I want to see the top 10 videos this month or whatever. Subscribe to that feed and be able to take them with me. Mm. And by take them with me, I mean being able to convert the Flash video into, say, MP4 or WMV and sync them to, say, your Zune or your PC or whatever.
Yeah. Do you struggle keeping, you have multiple devices? Like, I've got an old iPod, an 80 gig iPod. I've got a Zune HD. I've got an iPhone. I've got a Zune 8 gig. I've got a deal with iTunes. I've got a deal with Zune. And I've got a deal with MP3s that I ripped earlier. How do you manage all that?
Yeah, so I do have the same problem. Most of my stuff is non-DRM'd, but I do, like, I had stuff that I had purchased, say, on iTunes, years and years ago that is still DRM protected. And, iTunes, at least the nice thing it comes up with, hey, give us $200 and we'll convert the licenses for your old content.
Right, you forgot to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's obviously the cost depends on how much music you have or old music that you purchased. But the idea is then that content can kind of go with you anywhere.
That's pretty frustrating. I mean, I have had a number of times when the act of just buying music is difficult on any and all of these different systems. Then I kind of go, well, gosh, where did that file go? I've lost the file, or then I realize that it's DRM'd. Once I realize that, it's kind of a stupid, I should probably just pick one, I guess is what I'm saying. There's a couple of different things I've been listening to lately. I've been listening to this artist named Janelle Monáe, and I got her album, and then I grabbed my iPhone and jumped in the car, and then, realized that I downloaded it on Zune, and I hadn't got my Zune yet. So then I was like, well, do I buy it on, I just want my freaking music. You know what I mean? I ended up listening to it on Pandora.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. I actually tried Amazon's MP3 purchasing system.
Oh, really?
It works. I mean, it works pretty well. The idea was, hey, wow, I can get an MP3, not have to worry about stuff. And they had, in some cases, for random music, and by random, I mean, it was some like old school punk rock music. They had better selection.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to download. It did download. It brings up and asks you to download or to use their downloader tool. So you use their downloader tool, and then it dumps it in a place. And I'm like looking for this file, and I can't even find it. But like that's probably one of the frustrating things. And then I had to copy it over to the specific directories for the Zune or the specific directories for an iPhone, and actually add that, those files or that file folder.
Yeah, exactly.
So it really isn't as integrated as I would want to be. But, with Windows Phone coming out, I'm looking to standardize, if you will, on a Zune.
I'd love to standardize on something, but it doesn't change the fact that I've got like 32 gigs of everything I've ever owned and ripped from the first CD that I've owned, going back a long way.
The question is, do you have them as a DRM version, or is it just MP3?
I guess they are MP3s. They're just spread all over creation with bad tags and unknown this and unknown that. People always say that, I've got my collection fully tidy and everything like that. I've got all of my album art, but they only have a couple of hundred albums. When you start getting into album hoarding, it's really, you have to take, you have to take time off work if you really want to get your album stuff set up.
Do you remember the name of the service? Because I remember you had given me the recommendation years ago
Rip Digital.
The service to automatically rip CDs.
Yeah, Rip Digital. RipDigital.com is actually how I started.
I would suggest to probably outsource that model for managing, and then have them give you the discs back, because they give you, say, DVDs full of
that's
music,
hard. That's hardcore. I could get an assistant who would go and clean up like a human. I would do a Mechanical Turk style.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, speaking of assistants, did you know that James Senior, who works in DP, you know that he has a virtual assistant?
No. Does he have the Your Man in India thing?
I'm checking here. It's called Time Saver, and I think it's Time SVR. Yeah, here it is. TIMSVR.com. Apparently, it's hip to drop vowels. So he pays for Time Saver Personal. That says unlimited basic tasks, 24/7 service by phone, email, web, or Skype. And I was like, well, what do you possibly have to get done? And I tease him because he's also English, which is fun because it's fun to tease English people with their accents. Mm-hmm. Hey, James, why do you have an assistant? I mean, what do you really need him to do? He was moving, and he was in China, but he was moving from one place in Seattle to another place in Seattle, and he had his guy at Time Saver go and research movers, get quotes, put all the quotes into an Excel sheet, and like build some charts and graphs describing which of these was the best. Then once they decided it, he scheduled the time with the guy. And basically, this gentleman somewhere overseas, I don't know where, did all this work for him. And I was like, really? I don't really think I'd feel comfortable having a random guy in another country pick my mover. And, you know, I mean, because he has to know everything. He has to know your address and where you hid the key and just all this kind of stuff.
Right.
He swears by it. He says it's the greatest thing he's ever done to save time is to hire these guys. He had them send flowers to his girlfriend on their anniversary.
That's awesome. I know a similar service. It's called yourmanindia.com.
Oh, I thought you were just being like, I don't know. I thought that was being offensive. It's an actual thing?
Yeah, and so there's a book by a guy named Timothy Ferris.
I had him on the show.
Wrote, 4-Hour Work Week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had him on the show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Met him at a food camp. Interesting guy. But moral of the story is, you know, he talks about, like, outsourcing a lot of your life and you know, that you're spending your time, most of your time doing, you know, menial work or something that somebody else can do. Say, for example, you taking a day off of work to clean up your music, for example, but he mentioned Your Man in India just because the cost is so cheap from, say, you know, doing presentations to, you know, in fact, you know, you go to their homepage, there's a service category, and you just find a ton of stuff that they'll do for you from, you know, buying sporting tickets to just basically helping you manage your life. So
it's funny. All the commercials for these always make it seem like the only thing that people who would would pay for an assistant would do would be like buying tickets to the opera or something like that, you know. Like, you know, I don't feel like going to Ticketmaster. I'll have someone do that for me.
Well, you know, I don't want people to know that I'm buying tickets for the Justin Bieber concert, and this is the easiest way to do it, to have a go-between.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, exactly. It is my lifestyle choice, and thank you very much.
Justin Bieber is a perfect place to end our random show, and we'll see how many listeners we lost this week.
Okay, perfect.
Very cool. Thanks so much, Dan Fernandez, for chatting with me on Hansel Minutia this week on Hansel Minutes.